Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
The lapping waters of the Tyrrhenian Sea. We have made it to Liguria for stage 4 of the Giro d'Italia. And this is familiar territory for anyone like me and Matt, who are very familiar with Milan-San Remo since we come here every March for La Primavera. But this is the first time I've ever visited Liguria for the Giro d'Italia. The temperature is a good 5, 6, 7, 8 degrees warmer than it always is for Milan-San Remo, and it just looks slightly different now. From where I am sitting in Andorra, I am looking down along the race route, the palm trees, the Italian flags just fluttering in the breeze. I'm seeing the sun lounges being put to use by elderly Italian couples, wearing very little, both the men and the women, topping up their all-year-round tans. And on the wooded hillsides above, I can see the terracotta roofs and the cypress trees. And on the ridge just to the south of Andorra, I can see the globe of the observatory. And beyond that, just about make out the silhouette of the lighthouse, which sits atop of the Capo Melle. Now, the Capo Melle, as I'm sure you're aware, is the first of the Tre Capi, the three little climbs along the coast that mark the beginning of the end of Milan-San Remo. But today, interestingly, it's only a couple of kilometres from the finish line. Never Strays Far is proud to be supported by BICMO Cycle Insurance, protecting the world's riders and the places we ride. Head to BICMO.com and use the code NSF24 on their quote page to get 12 months of award-winning BICMO insurance for the price of 11. Terms apply.
Rossa me parla e te, io le domando si è spiette a me, e me risponde si io vuol sapere, che non ci sta nessuna, e io chiamo nome per te.
Yes, Andorra then. Andorra, which gets its name, etymologically, when you drill back, it actually derives from a legend involving a beautiful lady, almost inevitably, called Andalora, and her betrothed called Stefanello. Andalora herself, her name was derived from Landa d'Oro, in other words, land of gold. Anyway, she was a local beauty in these hillsides in some ill-defined century long ago, which reminds me a little bit of the absolute nonsense of the legend of La Planche des Belles Filles. But this is an Italian Ligurian version of a made-up story that explains the name of this little town, Andorra, with one R, unlike Andorra, the tax haven in which all the cyclists live in between France and Spain. So Andorra was captured by a raiding Saracen prince who was making his way up the Ligurian coast, landing, imprisoning people, getting up to all sorts of no good. He was called Al-Kefir, I think, and he fell in love with Andorra, kidnapped her and took her onto his Saracen boat that was moored just off the Capo Melle, which, by the way, means the Cape of Apples. Anyway, Stefanello got wind of the fact that his fiancée had been captured by the Saracen prince, and he swam out to where the ship was moored just off the Capo Melle and drowned, didn't survive his attempt to try and rescue her. And Andorra, seeing that Stefanello had died trying to rescue her, then threw herself into the sea and drowned herself in a kind of a Romeo and Juliet style mutual suicide pact for the young lovers. But the twist in the tale, the kind of happy ending in a way for a very sad story, is that when the Saracen prince realised the depths of the love and the passion that these two young Italians, Ligurians, had for one another and how they'd laid down their lives on behalf of the love that they shared. So impressed was he with that, that he abandoned his Muslim faith and converted to Christianity. So, I don't know. All's well that ends well. But as a result of that legend, Andorra is the name that has been given to Andorra. And there's another little village up here along this coast called Stefanello. True story. Stephen's Matt.
Hey mate, how you doing?
Yeah, very good. You've been gone a while. Where have you been? You've been mincing around. We've got 10 minutes to one ahead. You've been absent from the booth. You'd obviously set up quite early because I can see your Haribos are out there, all your nonsense, your pens, your highlighters, you've been cutting up the I was about to call it Dolomiti, it's not what I mean. Garibaldi.
There's a good name change. If they were to change it, the Dolomiti would be a great name for the Hamburg, wouldn't it? But no, I've been.
Wouldn't have the same historical heft, would it?
No, people would be scratching their heads and wondering where that came from, and ultimately it'd be us having a conversation and passing that on, and them adopting it.
Yeah.
But no, it's gorgeous. I've just been on a bit of a mooch about. I've not really used my bike that much. I've gone up and down the finishing straight a few times, done a bit of podding for my pod.
Yeah. Unplugged,
yeah, and just done a bit.
When's the next one drop?
It's not to the rest day, the first rest day. So I'm accumulating and gathering lots of little vignettes. Yeah. And there's a lovely little cafe just on the beach. So I just sat there and reflected and just looked out to sea as the waves just lapped on the beach. It's just a moment of a tranquility because the finish area, it's always buzzing. There's a lot going, a lot of music. I just needed a little bit of space.
Let's be honest, a lot of terrible music as well. Let's just have a little listen. Probably can't hear it very loudly, would it be prying too much to ask you what you're reflecting on, or you're very welcome to say that's none of your business, Ned, and also none of your Never Strays Far listeners' business?
I was reflecting first. I was just reflecting on emptying my mind of anything and just looking at the sea because meditating like a meditative state, assisted by a pan of chocolate and a coffee.
David Miller's very good at meditating, you realize that?
Is he?
Maybe probably good,
like, yeah,
you know, like
a few tricks.
He'd be like in, yeah, be podium.
I'm more like if it was a proper sport, I'd be just like entry level sporty, more of an enthusiast, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where I see myself in the kind of pecking order of meditative states. But no, and also I was messaging Holly because of course life goes on beyond the Giro, doesn't it? And we're sorting
problematic
out,
sometimes.
Yeah, we're sorting out our decking area. So it was basically plant based admin. So Holly got some ideas for some potting some plants. She's going to go off to a garden centre, and we're looking at items to put the plants in for this new season. So it was more of a strategy meeting with Holly about where and what sort of vessels we're going to put the plants in, where should they be placed on our decking area. And that took the best part of 20 minutes, but I feel like I've achieved something today now. And now I'm fully focused on the job at hand, which is talking at length about a bike race.
When I went for my run this morning up into the hills, sort of off the coastal road, and I dropped back down again, but for a while I was running around the hills. There, you know, lots of lovely houses there, big walls, and up the walls were growing things like jacaranda, wisteria, but also incredibly highly scented, very sweet scent. It smelt a little bit like lemon blossom, which doesn't, it's not lemon blossom. Lemon blossom's strange, isn't it, because it doesn't smell at all like lemon. It just smells very, very sweet.
I'm not too sure, is that the case? I don't know if I smelt it, I probably have, but I didn't know it was lemon blossom.
But it's one where, and the listeners help, there was a shrub that was growing, that was heavily flowering, very fine little white delicate flowers, each with four petals set almost like the propeller blades of a sort of First World War aeroplane. The whole thing the size of a €2 coin, around about that, each flower. Incredibly heavy scent, so very, very sweet, and growing in thick profusion in these hillsides. Lovely smell. And this is the difference. It's quite strange. I mentioned it earlier in the thing I was saying, Matt, that we come to this coastline in March. But coming back in May, it's just changed, doesn't it? The temperature's gone up a notch. You can really feel how it works in summer, this place.
Yeah, and you can tell. I mean, it's always mild here, isn't it? Because you can tell when it's always mild because you go to the hotel, and rather than having a duvet, they have one thin layer.
Paper thin
sheet.
Yeah.
And you think, well, that's not going to be enough. And it is, because they know. And it was just balmy. I mean, I'm in a T-shirt. You're kind of loosely attired. You've also got your headphones on. It's weird because you're podding. but with your headphones, it's like you're double microphoning.
Just in case anyone calls me, from the truck, because we've had a bit of business to attend to already for Highlights Voice.
Yeah.
By the way, I haven't really touched on this, so there's been a new innovation at the title sequence. So even if you're watching this, I think if you're watching this on Eurosport or Discovery Plus, there'll be a moment, if you tune in right at the beginning, so I've just heard a voice in my... literally just saying 5 minutes to the start of the international
feed. We're relaxed.
But if you watch it on Eurosport, I think, right from the very start, you'll get 30 seconds of really kind of dramatic music and drone shots going through kind of like ancient Roman ruins and things like that, and through market squares and campaniles and things like that. Then after about 30 seconds, it kind of, the music comes to a crescendo, and then you have this little voice pipes up and says,
"The Giro d'Italia is presented by..." In that voice, because I had no... When I did that voiceover, I was sent a message on WhatsApp. You couldn't do it.
Yeah. So I thought, I'm quite glad I couldn't do it, actually.
Yeah. I'd no... They didn't set the scene about what it was. I thought it was something to do with the highlights, and there'd just be a little bumper. Then we go into the highlights. But the next thing on is a lady tearing apart a very big lump of cheese.
Gran Padano
cheese, which I'm a fan of. I'm still waiting for part payment in Gran Padano. But I'd no... So my voice drops in, and I think... It's not my best work, but please bear in mind that I didn't have a clue as I sat in my back room. What the context was. Otherwise, I'd have given it a bit more heft, more gravitas.
It's quite an honour, isn't it? Every day, you're the first thing. Yeah. You're the first voice of the Giro d'Italia for the world.
For the globe hears. So it's actually quite a significant moment. I might put it in my show. I don't have a show room, but if I did, that would be at the top.
Yeah. Briefly about the race. We've both done our reconnaissance, haven't we, for the Capo Melle. I don't think anything will happen. I don't think it's quite there to disrupt the sprint. Do you agree or not? Are you not?
I think with the way the wind is, it's crosswind but slight head. It might slow them enough to ever to slightly neutralise it. But again, they go so quick over that. But I think it will be disruptive enough to... I think a few of the heavier sprinters might just get out of place, and there's not a lot of opportunity to move back up unless you've got a huge chain ring on. So I think we might see teams thinking about their gearing and opting for some pretty big chain rings, because it only gets flat with about 400 metres to go. The last 2.5k are downhill, fast downhill, actually quite sheltered. They'll be ripping down here, and it's going to be really, really exciting. But whether it's hard enough to shift anybody, I don't know. But it's going to be a real battle. I mean, think Milan-San Remo, bottom of the Cipressa times 10, I think. It's going to be absolutely insane because it is the finish as well. So... it's going to be quite nervy, I think, but super exciting. The rest of the stage, we'll wait and see.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Well, hello again. Another day, another sprint, as week one now gets properly underway with a triptych of chances for the fast men. But if it's anything like yesterday's extraordinary race, which started ponderously and then exploded into unexpected life, then just about anything is possible, particularly when you have a rider in the peloton called Tadej Pogacar. Ghana sprints off the front. Ghana, Geraint Thomas just lets him go, slows up the chase, and Filippo Ganna from the foot of the Capo Melle. And what a raid this one in the white jersey. Bauhaus, and it's Coy alongside Milan. Olaf Coy, Milan heads the front. Here comes Melia with a charge. Melia pushing for the line. Milan holding off Bauhaus. Milan for the line. Milan just about taking the win.
Hello, Ned and Matt. I hope you're doing well. Giro's flying by, huh? Stage 4 already. You guys must just be loving how fast it's going. All good with me. I'm in Drona. I've been on further sporting adventures. I started the Tracker 360, which is a 360 kilometer non-stop gravel event on Friday, but front wheel blew out and I ripped my tyre after 60 kilometres. So that sucked. But then I got an entry into the 100 kilometre event on the Sunday and I did that. Got 13th, which I was really happy about. How the mighty have fallen. 13th is a big result for me. And apart from that, doing Chapter 3 stuff, doing sporting group stuff. As the Giro, I think it's no secret that I'm a big fan of Tadej Pogacar. Although I try to keep that under wraps when in my commentary position. As a spectator, I've been loving it. I love his feistiness. I'm a big fan of the fact he just doesn't care. And I hope that quote is true that I saw on Free Boss's Twitter, that when somebody asked him if it's going to cost him going so deep at the beginning, he said, no, I've been here 6 days and I haven't spent a euro. It's like a free holiday. So sums Tadej Pogacar up, doesn't it? I don't know what happened today in stage four. I've just been running around, just picked up Archie from mountain biking, taking Harvey to basketball, usual shenanigans. But yeah, it's. I'm looking forward to. I've been listening to you guys. It's great. Really enjoyed the first few pods. Feel like I'm there. Well, I don't actually. Not in the slightest. Because I'm not there, and I don't feel like it. I don't know why I said that. And yeah. So anyway, keep up the good work. I hope the Giro continues to fly by for you guys as it is for me. Because it'll be over before we know it. At this rate, bye.
Yo, never sure is far. What do I know? Well, not much, as usual. Just literally caught up on the last 500 metres of stage four of the Giro. So, other than that, I don't know what else happened during the stage, but yeah, Milan absolutely pumped it, didn't he? Smashed it out of the park. I caught up on yesterday evening. When Pogacar and G went for a little play together out front. Got to say, the pace into the bottom of the climb from like probably what, maybe the last 20k before the climb was just crackers, wasn't it? That all sort of, well, the shape we see the peloton, mainly in the Tour de France, but yeah, Giro nowadays as well, where every team is just blocked at the front, just literally riding threshold to stay in position. But yeah, then the actual race was quality, wasn't it? My favourite part about yesterday though was Geraint's interview at the end, because after everything he's done, all the results he's had, he still acts like surprised that he was in that position. I can't remember what he said now, but me and Lauren were cracking up at it. It was like, oh, I don't know what happened there, or something along the lines of that. But I think it's just class, innit? Just kind of shows how humble he is, really. But yeah, he looks good. I mean, Pogacar was, I wouldn't say playing with him, but yeah, G was properly on the limit. Pog was doing his thing, but you know, Pog's so much better than everyone. And at the minute, G looks next best, so he's got to be happy with that. Obviously a long way to go yet, but still. No, it's just classic Giro shenanigans, in it really. What else have I been doing? Even the under 23s have left the classic season. Actually, we obviously had the run of, it's not really any particular order for under 23s. I think it was Roubaix first, then it was Liège, and then Gent-Wevelgem, and then yeah, just had our first race in the mountains of the year, which was Ronde Isard, which was in the Pyrenees. Beautiful, beautiful race. Weather wasn't great on the first day, but then the sun came out. Honestly feel like it's the first bit of sun I've had all year as well, so that was nice. Last 3 days stayed in this amazing B&B run by a husband and wife called Kev and Bev. Great name, by the way, for a husband and wife, isn't it? Kev and Bev, or Bev and Kev, whichever way around you wanna go with it. Lovely, lovely people. Bev made the food for all the riders and staff every night. Hosted us really well, beers, wine. So that was great. And Kev was actually an ex-rider. He was British national Madison champ back in the 80s, I think, and he'd been to the Alaman loads, knew my dad, knew all the riders from the Alaman from back in the day, Mike Doyle, Steve Jochen, etc. So it was great catching up with him, actually, and came away with a Colnago C something or other from, I don't know, it was like before electronic group sets came out, and it's black and red, lovely bike, but it's got a crack in the down in the seat tube. So I've got a little project for the winter. I'm going to get it fixed when I'm at the Nationals, take it somewhere to a carbon fibre specialist or whatever you do. And then just slowly build it up with some nice super records, some Campag Bora wheels. So if anyone listening to the pod has got any old Campag record equipment or wheels, specifically the deep section Campag Bora normal brake caliper wheels, not disc brakes, then hit me up. I will be truly grateful. But yeah, enough about where we stayed and what bikes I now have. The riders were bloody amazing. Honestly, let's go back to the start. Messed up completely on stage one, pouring down with rain, freezing conditions, being banging the same old drum all year about not becoming complacent and your position in the peloton and mainly just getting the basics right. And the rest will follow. Well, they didn't on stage one, so I went full mean director mode. No one had a massage, full silent treatment, just drove off at the end of the race. Just told them what time we were leaving the hotel basically the following day, and that was it. And then, my word, did they bounce back and delivered on every stage. I think we had one in the top 10 on every stage for the last four stages, basically. Team were epic. And Joe Pidcock finally came through. And I say finally because he's always had the talent. And yes, he's the younger brother of Tom Pidcock, if no one's aware of that. But yeah, he's always had the talent. And he's managed to string a really good winter together. He already looked good on training camp. And he's been knocking on the door, really. And it's for him, it's just been a case of, I think, not enjoying it. He's always enjoyed it, but focusing on the right things and not getting distracted, and mainly I think just being happy and riding his bike. So I can relate to a lot of stuff that Joe sometimes struggles with, but I mean he's completely on top of his game now, and I think we're going to see an awful lot more from him for the rest of the season, and he deserves it because he's worked so hard. And I don't mind saying it must be really difficult following in the footsteps of your older brother Tom, with all the achievements and accolades and everything else he's got. So I'm just obviously happy when any of the riders win, but yeah, I think it was a really special victory for Joe and an absolute buzzing for him. So yeah, that pretty much brings you up to date with my life. I'm sat in the garden on the Isle of Man. I've just cut the grass. I made a start on the hedges. Sun's also came out to play here. Can't ask for any more. Over and out, boys. Keep up the good work, Ned and Matt. Love yous.
Right, 3-hour drive back to Viareggio, which we know. I think we both know Viareggio quite well. It's basically Lido di Camaiore, isn't it? It's the
very familiar.
Yeah, very familiar. But quite a long drive down the coast from Liguria, from Andorra. I enjoyed today. It was good.
It was good. It was exciting. We talked about it in comms, didn't we? If a brief bit of race analysis. It was proper. It was like a microcosm of Milano San Remo. It had all the excitement and all the drama, and it just exploded at the end. It was corking, wasn't it? I thoroughly entertained.
I think there's a whole market in scaled down famous races, but in miniature form that you stick them in a stage race. You know, so one day classic, and you stick it in a stage race. Yeah. I suppose you get that to a certain extent, don't you? But a little tour. Yeah, I suppose that's exactly what you get. Well, I must say, it's not that unusual, is it? Really,
but there we go. But yeah. It works. Doesn't
I've never
it?
Seen a Milan San Remo scale model in a stage race before, though.
No. But we've seen the Strada Bianca scale model, and I do like it, and it's working. But yeah, it worked today.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the dramatic countryside we're passing through.
Well, can you keep your eyes on the road, and I'll describe the scene. It looks a bit like kind of Vietnam doesn't it? Like, but very densely wooded, but it's got that kind of like wispy, slightly humid cloud effect, so the well below the line of the actual tops of the hills, kind of like whisking around the valleys, which is always quite like ominous almost. And you were speculating, you were wondering whether up in the hills there, the Ligurian hills to our left, we've got the Tyrrhenian Sea to our right, you were wondering whether, oh look, maybe it's here, the Grotte di Borgio Verezzi, so the Borgio Verezzi caves in these hills. I wonder whether that's where, you know, we were talking about
the leader of the clan of the Clanieri, it's the soup dragon, isn't it? It's the Italian soup dragon, and he does dwell, or they do dwell, in these hills somewhere, and I do think it is in that particular grotto where he sits all day long, just dispensing sort of sage anecdotes.
I mean, it's interesting. Wiseness. That, you know, the Klang is obviously, a lot of people will remember them from British television screens of the 1970s. Into the 80s? Probably not. I think they were done by the 70s. Then they disappeared. And it's only like with really good journalism that you and I have exhibited over the last few days that we've tracked them down. Yeah. They actually didn't, you know, disappeared totally. They just went into exile, effectively, in the Ligurian mountains. They don't dare, for various certain tax reasons, the Guardia di Finanza are on them, because they made a fortune, didn't they, in the 70s?
Oh, they did.
Sure they were, a bit like Lester Piggott, I'm not sure they were quite up to speed with their tax payments.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get him too much into trouble, but it was a difficult time, and I think, because they were looking at extending through to the 80s, they got a good deal, they got a big contract, but it was just too risky, and they'd made their money. So they came to live out here, and they just got used to the lifestyle.
And I'll be honest, Bentine was doing their books, wasn't he? Yeah, like Michael Bentine, before he did Potty Time, he was an accountant, wasn't he? And he'd said he'll look after their money. And I'm not sure he did them any favours long term by hiding a lot of it. Anyway, they're on the run, effectively, the Clangers. They've been hiding out here in the caves of the Ligurian Mountains. But they're such kind of friendly, sociable chaps. They can't, you know, they want to communicate. They don't like this life of exile. They want to be part of the world. So this is what we've established. This is why they're talking to us through the medium of our zips.
Yeah, through the medium of our zips. And of course, there's an element of divine intervention at Europa, at the Santuario di Europa, which we're all...
No coincidence, they started talking to us there.
No, it wasn't. And when you think back, it's like, yeah, it did feel right that day, Ned, didn't it? And we have communicated. And what's wonderful, and what I think we need to recognise is how many of you listeners have got in contact and saying, and you're all feeling it too. I mean, the Clanieri language has reawoken, and I think it's the beginning of a new era. It's a cause for celebration, really, Ned.
We have had nice feedback. You've had some feedback about the Fiat motor vehicle that you're driving at the moment, and you're quite consistent, almost borderline nagging complaints, because they pop up with such extraordinary frequency.
Tell what you feel.
It's just you can get very kind of irascible, borderline irritable, irascible.
Yeah, yeah.
About the lane control function on the Fiat. But you've had some nice feedback about that, haven't you? Or some helpful, constructive feedback.
Yeah, I should. I think on the next pod, we'll give this person a shout-out, because I can't remember
we'll have forgotten by tomorrow.
No. Okay, so whoever it was, thanks for getting in contact, because you've sent me... you spent a lot of time doing... I think there's a link to an instruction manual on how to unset it. So thank you very much, whoever you were. And you also did a series of photos and with little graphics over the knobs I need to press. So quite a detailed explanation of how to make the driving easier, and also easier for you, Ned, because clearly... the way you just constructed that little bit of feedback, you're clearly getting a bit cheesed off as well with my reactions to the lane navigation system. But the bottom line is, we started off this journey, we've got 2 hours 19 to go, started off at 2.05, went off to 2.07, but in quarter of an hour on this motorway, I've shaved off the best part of 9 minutes.
That's amazing. It's good. It's good work, that.
Which, and again, without being boastful, bragging... this happened the other day, and it's not gone unnoticed. It's quite high echelons, really, Ned, isn't it? Do you want to just... I know you're uncomfortable doing it, mate. Do you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
It's rumours, Matt. Yeah. I mean, I can't go any further than that, and in all likelihood, it'll come to nothing. But, you know, they have been gaining in momentum. We're very much aware in the sporting world that Jim Ratcliffe at Ineos has moved into Manchester in football, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Expanding his portfolio in football. He's obviously won the America's Cup with that sailing bloke quite a few times, actually. He's probably sponsoring Tom Daley's Speedos, I would imagine. almost certainly owns a horse polo team. You just told me that he was involved in cycling. I didn't realise that, but apparently Filippo Ganna is on his payroll.
Yeah, one of a few. So he's dipped his toe.
Yeah, I didn't realise that.
Into cycling.
Roger Hammond might be lined up to replace the Manchester United manager.
Yeah, well, we know that like Roger's in the mix for the Man United manager. It's cards on the table.
That's unusual, isn't it? The biggest football club in the world. And yes, Roger finished fourth in Paris-Roubaix.
Yeah.
And he was
it's on the podium.
Was that the year?
In the British jersey. And that's what caught the notice of Ratcliffe in his
youth. That'll be the difference. I thought it was fourth, but third.
Third, yeah.
It's on the podium. Well, so yes, there's that in his favour. Multiple British National Cyclocross Championships. Roger, excellent in the crosswinds. And if you put that, I suppose that kind of like skill set together, then he'll get the best out of Harry Maguire.
He will do. I think they're kind of transferable skills, and it really are. And but there's that, isn't there?
That's the one rumour, isn't it? That Hammond might be in the dugout with Sir Alex Ferguson coming back, but as his assistant. So Hammond will be very much the main man, and you know Alex Ferguson will be just chipping in every now and again and putting out the cones, running on with water.
But I understand that Ferguson wants to get back to basics. He wants more of a hands-on role where he's not got quite as much responsibility, but can also feed off the enthusiasm that Roger has and always has.
And the anger, the sheer brutal, preternatural fury of Roger Hammond will go some way to sort of like. But that's the one rumour. The other one that we've heard increasingly is it concerns you and me, doesn't it?
And it
has a bearing on what you just told us about your driving prowess, your proficiency.
Well, I mean we've got to bring Rog back in the mix in because back in the mid-90s me and Rog drove to the ferry to get on the ferry for the Tortle Avenue in his Mini Cooper, and that caught the eye of a very young
Sir Jim Ratcliffe. Well, he wasn't Sir Jim back then,
was
he?
Just Jim. It's just Mr. Ratcliffe, I think. Yeah. Mr. J. Ratcliffe.
Long before he got his knighthood and then pissed off to Monaco.
No, he was working at Boots at the time. he was working at Boots. No, he was a deputy manager in the Stafford store. but then he was looking at a longer sort of time horizon and building like a bit of an empire.
Yeah.
But no,
journey. So in the Mini Cooper, Roger Hammond's was it your Mini Cooper or Roger's?
Roger's Mini Cooper. We were crammed in. We had all our suitcases. And believe it or not, mate, this is not a word of a lie. Two bikes in a not one of those swollen minis you get these days, but like a proper size mini that's just absolutely tiny. But we got us in, and I don't know how the information got passed, but Roger was very good at driving. But then we swapped like we do, and information got to Jim, and he just saw how we're both very, very capable drivers, efficient drivers. I'd like to say highly skilled. Anyway, that went quiet for the best part of three decades. Best part of three decades, and then of course, Jim's been on the race. He's heard through Andrea Basso, our manager, about our. He's just looked at the data. Because as you know, I don't know if you follow us, anybody on the pod follows us on Strava. We Strava all of our drives, don't we? Jim's seen that. He's followed us both. And he got in contact, not via himself, I think it was Carol. Oh. It might have been Carol. But bottom line is, Formula One is where it's rumoured that we're heading. So I've got a meeting in Monaco. On the rest day, so I'm going to have to get back to Monaco on the rest day. It's quite a long drive.
You'll have to drive.
But I'll have to drive. It's worth it. I'll just drive through the night. Yeah. I'm going to be on his yacht and have a bit of a chat. As you said before, it's important we don't get too hasty and ahead of ourselves. But Formula One is in the offing.
Interesting. Yeah. Good race today, by the way, wasn't it?
It was great.
Those lads out the front, Stefan de Bod and Francisco Munoz. What a little discovery he is. Great. I thought he was terrific.
He looked good. And on the podium as well, well deserved. And they held him off. And it's only, what was it, 8K? No, 8.5K to go. They got swept up.
I thought you were going to say he was only 8 or 9. He was 22, actually.
22. Yeah, he's quite a bit older than that. But no, looked good.
Can I genuinely hand it to you? Your punditing today from the very off, Matt Stevens, was borderline world class, certainly kind of like British championship class, which equates to world class at certain eras in British cycling. Some of the best riders in the world, every single one apart from me of the regular contributors to Never Strays Far is a British national champion. Peter Kenyuk, Matt Stevens, David Miller. Yeah, that's quite something, that, isn't it? But you're punditing different level today because you predicted the Filippo Ganna dig today.
Yeah, I just felt it. Yeah. I just felt it.
And, from 190k out.
190k out, even when he got in that move. And that's why I was a bit like, why has he gone there? And you came up with in the absence of anything else, well, is he just trading for the TT? And I thought, well, yes, but also why? But it was the only explanation we could think of. And then Ian Stannard brought him back because it just looked like it could be a good day for him. And it was great. It was proper exciting. He got caught in the end, but and the irony was, wasn't it? It was caught by two of his teammates.
Simone Cozzoli and Jonathan Miller. Who was the fourth in that quartet? I can't remember. I don't think the fourth rider is a road rider.
No,
so he's kind of like escape mine. Yeah, so he's
pure tracky, but
so
I don't know.
Tracky, so I don't know who it is. Yeah, but it was Consoni, Milan, and Ganna were all part of that record-breaking Tokyo Olympics team pursuit quartet. They're amazing, and they were the front three with 300 meters to go, weren't it? When Ganna was caught, it's brilliant. That Jonathan Milan, I like watching him sprint. I like Jonathan Milan. I've never met him, but what interests me about him, he's got a body of a very fully grown man,
body and a head of a 15-year-old.
He's got a baby face. He's got. Yes. Do you know what? In a certain light, from a certain angle, if you can Photoshop a different body onto the head, he looks a little bit like, this is going to sound weird, but look at him next time, Chris Froome.
Yes.
He's got a small nose. Chris Froome's got quite a small nose.
Also, I think it's something to the, he's got a similar feltrum.
What's a feltrum?
This bit here.
You can't see that. It's a podcast. That was pointing to
the bottom of your nose, the bit between the top of your lip and
the little dimply bit underneath your nose.
That's your feltrum. Yeah. So he's got a similar feltrum, a similar depth to his feltrum, and also quite a like rounded features.
Yeah.
And they're all
the eyes, the nose, and the mouth are all kind of quite scrunched up towards the centre of the head. So it's all kind of in very compact and efficient use of distribution of face features.
Yeah, there's a very particular golden triangle, because the golden triangle is the distances between your eyes, your nose, and your mouth, and they're quite concentrated towards the centre point. If it were a graph,
facial gravity. It's called. You know, the features are being drawn towards the fulcrum. Actually, the
feltrum. Yeah. So he does a little bit like an Italian Chris Froome.
Yeah.
And I think if science allowed, and somebody was feeling, you know, quite frivolous and jokey, if their heads were exchanged overnight, you probably wouldn't know.
Do join us for stage 5 of Never Strays Far tomorrow.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.